You are Locked On the NFL, your daily NFL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, hello, hello. I am Matt Williamson. This is a Locked On NFL podcast. What is going on? It is Sunday evening, right before the Sunday Nighter kicks off. I am going to talk with the hosts of Locked On Panthers, Locked On Texans, Locked On Chargers, who played the very early game. And we're starting off, and we're going to do it in that order, of course, and we're starting off with the Panthers. Bill Rossetti joins us, the host of Locked On Panthers. All you Panthers fans and NFC South folks need to check that podcast out for sure. We are brought to you by Vivid Seats. We are brought to you by MyBookie. And you can follow me on Twitter at WilliamsonNFL. Bill, what is shaking, dude?
Not much, Matt. I really appreciate you having me on here. Glad to finally get a chance to talk to you, talk some Panthers football coming off a big victory for them today.
Yeah, I mean, going into this one, I think on Friday, I said something along the lines of, it's getting to the, I mean, I know it's not at the end of the season, but it kind of has that playoff feel with some of these NFC games. And this one had that kind of feel to me.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, two teams that when they go up against each other always seems like it's a tight battle. Carolina getting a chance to go into the house of the defending champs, looking for a little bit of revenge after last season's close game on that Thursday night. And, you know, two teams at this point fighting for playoff position. So, yeah, this had a real exciting atmosphere.
Yeah, and from what I noticed of the game, well, one thing I think is pretty clear with this team now is they have a wide variety of weapons. And, I mean, with Olsen back, you know, Moore starting to step up a little bit, Samuel starting to show up, McCaffrey and Funchess are pretty much constants now. Funchess is playing well. I thought they picked on the Eagles' corners in particular quite well in this game.
Yeah, you really started to see as the game progressed, they kind of opened the passing game a little more. And I kind of expected they would go after the cornerbacks, especially Jalen Mills. We saw how much Mills had been struggling over the last couple weeks. So it's really not surprising to me. You know, the surprise was how slow they kind of started. But once they started to kick into gear and really started to take advantage of that matchup, you kind of saw it really flying. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me that these Panthers receivers were able to match up so well against the Eagles secondary, especially the corners, like you said.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, it looked like the running game, besides Newton, you know, was pretty tough sledding.
Yeah.
That Newton seemed to pick up as the game went on, you know, more hurry up, you know, found matchups he liked. And I also thought on that side of the ball that, you know, Fletcher Cox in particular caused them some problems.
Yeah, and that's not really surprising.
You know,
we kind of figured Fletcher Cox was going to be a little bit of a problem. You know, even going back to last week against the Redskins, they struggled to run the ball a bit. And we know the Redskins have a very good front seven. So not really surprised. We kind of expected that this front seven would get after it. And, you know, Cox got involved, like you said. Michael Bennett had a sack, Brandon Graham. So it was kind of a collection of players there on the Eagles side that, you know, in the early going, definitely made life miserable for Cam Newton. You know, the offense, they really made the offense slug. And this is 2 weeks in a row now that it was almost like a replay of last Sunday against Washington.
Yeah, right. You know, and I also thought, you know, along with Newton getting better, that the defense got better late in the game. You know,
they
really stopped the run well in general. Again, this isn't super shocking, but Keekly to me looked like a, you know, as good as ever. I mean, Hall of Fame level performance yet again, even though Wentz went 30 for 37.
Yeah, I mean, Keekly, you know, he had those couple big stops late in the game, especially I think it was only a few minutes left. The Eagles are driving with a chance to win the game. You know, the second to last drive I'm talking about, he had a big stop. I believe it was on second down. You know, a couple plays before forcing the Eagles to punt. So, Keekly, again, he's the real deal, like you said.
Yeah, absolutely.
Eric Reed came up with some big plays. The entire secondary, really, I think played particularly well. So, yeah, as the fourth quarter went on, that Panthers defense really started to show what they could be made of.
Yeah, I mean, the secondary, isn't loaded with big names, and I think people look at it like it's a weakness, but I think it's rounding into shape pretty well.
It really is, you know, and with Eric Reed giving you not just that veteran leadership, but obviously the fantastic play that he's shown over the last couple of weeks, I think is really kind of spread out, if you want to say that, to the rest of the defense. You know, particularly James Bradberry, who had a couple nice plays. Dante Jackson continued to have a good rookie season. You know, so and that's really kind of always been the weakness of this Panthers defense. So right. Now to see that that unit has improved over the last couple of weeks, it just makes that entire defensive unit and really the entire Panthers team just that much more better and that much more dangerous in this NFC.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And speaking of the NFC, it's looking kind of cloudy for, you know, the playoffs, obviously. It's a very good conference. Yep. Where are you feeling? I mean, the Saints just got a big win. I think they're pretty clearly the number one team in the South. Do you think? Yeah. Do you agree with me? And do you think the Panthers are now pretty clearly number two?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I do too.
The Saints just continue. The Saints, they're just so good right now. You know, 5-1, big win in Baltimore, like you said. So yeah, they're definitely the favorites right now in the South, and it's really going to make those last 3 weeks very interesting, since you know the Panthers and Saints play each other twice in those three games in those last 3 weeks. But yeah, the Panthers are definitely clearly number two. You know, the Falcons, they picked it up a little bit last week, but they're still kind of on the downside. And the Buccaneers, yeah, they beat the Browns, but I think they've shown that those first two wins were kind of a fluke, and they're starting to trend back on kind of the wrong side of the ball. So no doubt the Saints are one, the Panthers are two, and the Panthers are definitely in the mix, at least for a wild card spot, if not the division.
Yeah, I agree. There's no defense in Tampa, no defense in Atlanta. Right. I think Carolina's much more well-rounded and one of the more well-rounded teams in the league overall.
Absolutely. Listen, you know, like I said, the fact now that the secondary has been playing well, it just makes that team just so good. You know, I think this is a Panthers team now that can compete with just about anybody in the NFC. You know, you can make the argument that the only teams better in the NFC right now than the Panthers are the Saints and the Rams. So yeah, they're right there in the mix. I think there's a possibility for them to make a little bit of noise should they make the playoffs, which right now I kind of expect them to.
Yeah, I do too. Bill, can you tell everyone where to find you? And then I want to tell everyone about our friends over at MyBookie.
Yeah, for sure. You can find me on Twitter at @Bill_Cetti. That's RICCETTE. I follow my work at Panthers Wire. I contribute a bit to Bengals Wire as well. And obviously the Locked On Panthers podcast, which you can check out Monday when I recap what was this wild victory for the Panthers.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you guys want to get, you know, more information on this game and specifically the Panthers, you got to tune into that. I've told you all about my bookie quite a bit. And to be very honest, I would only recommend a service to you guys that's been good to me, which is exactly what my bookie's been. I mean, that's why I'm urging you to make your way to my bookie. Every Friday I go there and we sit here and chat and we pick games straight up and against the spread. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting. I love that. The over-under on fantasy points scored, which is a blast too, and their most rewarding player perks in the business. However, they're doing such good work, and I've told you this before, MyBookie is slammed with new bettors and wants to give everyone the best service possible. So if you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern, and maybe you're listening to this tonight, Sunday evening, and that's a perfect time to do it, they give an extra $25 for free, just right on top. So as long as you deposit over $100, they match your deposit dollar for dollar and will throw in that $25 free if you use our promo code LOCKEDON25. It's LOCKEDON25. That activates the offer. So, again, if you're willing to hold out until after 7, you get an extra $25 free. And, hey, it's up to you guys, but I would certainly take that extra money. That seems like a no-brainer to me. You win, you get paid. All right, we are back. We are back with Robert Land. Robert Land is the host of Locked On Texans. Second phase of the journey here tonight on Sunday night. Robert, great to have you. How are you?
Doing good. If you counted us for dead, I mean, it's like Halloween's coming up. We're rising from the dead, baby.
Yeah, but let's just start right there. I mean, The AFC is crazy. The AFC South is, frankly, disappointing and winnable. Do you like your chances? You think you got a shot?
They look like the best team right now. I mean, the Titans, they can't score. The offense has got all sorts of problems. I mean, we watched the Jags today, and it's Blake Bortles getting benched, and they haven't scored the last three games in the first half with today's game. So, I mean, if you look at the rosters, I mean, I thought from the beginning of the season that the Texans had the best roster, but it's looking more and more like, yeah, they should be the favorites, and of course, they've got the solo lead now.
Yeah, insane. I mean, you mentioned Bortles, so I don't want to stray too much from the Texans, but let's just have a quick conversation about the quarterbacks in this thing. I mean, I said on Friday, I give Watson a 50% chance of finishing this game. You know, I mean, considering all the ailments he had, he couldn't even fly there. They had to charter a bus for him. That didn't sound so great. The status of the Texans O-line, a pissed off Jags pass rush after embarrassing themselves in Dallas. I'm like, Watson's going to get killed in this game. And then Bortles gets pulled, too. I mean, what was your take watching this game on the quarterback play?
Deshaun's doing a better job last couple of games, especially this game, of taking care of himself. You know, he was getting down. He was getting out of bounds
when he had to.
And that's the type of stuff that he wasn't doing earlier in the season. I mean, partly there was some blame on the coaching, but a lot of it was Deshaun himself. And, you know, unfortunately, the Deshaun that we saw last year, he just wasn't doing all the smart things that he was doing last year. He wasn't throwing it away when he needed to. He wasn't making smart throws. He wasn't getting down. He wasn't avoiding the hits. He was playing like Russell Wilson plays last year, the way he handles it with a bad offensive line. This year, he just wasn't doing that. And Bortles on the other end, I mean, he was losing the ball. He was taking some hits. And, you know, I haven't had a chance to really concentrate on the Jags outside of this game. You know, haven't seen him a ton, but yeah, Bortles, it doesn't look good. The offense overall just doesn't look good. They've got a lot of issues.
Did he deserve to get pulled?
Probably. Yeah. I feel like the offense, it's much more than Bortles. I mean, it's right. A lot more. They've got so many more problems, and he's just a piece of it. I mean, they were dropping passes for him left and right. Keelan was just not doing his job, and that was a problem. But yeah, it's not just him. But yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, give somebody else a shot. It wasn't working.
Right. Not like Cody Kessler's, you know, Johnny Unitas coming off the bench either. But, you know, you mentioned that Jags offense. And one thing that surprises me with that team, because I thought they were going to come back to earth this year, but I thought the O-line would be better than last year. And I know they lost Robinson, but their O-line has not been great in Jacksonville. But let's spin it with your team. I mean, Clowney's been a stud and was a monster today. I don't want to say Watt is back to pre-injuries because that's like the best defensive player I've ever seen, but he's one of the best defensive players in the league and merciless. I mean, the big three stars up front are really disruptive.
Romeo Crennel's defenses, they have a tendency to get better as the season goes along. And I nearly forgot that after the first few games. Somebody reminded me, they said, oh, no, watch Romeo's defense. It'll get better. And J.J. Watt started off the year not good. I mean, he picked it up pretty quickly. But Clowney started off the year really slow. So did Zach Cunningham. The whole linebacking core, Whitney Merciless, this was the first game where you really felt his presence. He caused a fumble. He had a big sack, nearly caused another fumble later in the game. But I mean, the Texans' defense, it's now starting to go on all cylinders. And their only issue coming into the season really was the cornerback situation. And the cornerback situation, still not great, but they've solidified that, and now the Texans' defense is back to where it's been always with Romeo Crennel over the last few years. I mean, the one year that Vrabel had it, they weren't in the top 10, but every year that Romeo's had it, there's pretty much a top 10 defense, and they're back to being one of the 10 best defenses in the NFL.
Yeah, Romeo actually, my year with the Browns, Romeo took over for Butch when I was there. So I spent several months with him before we all got fired. Very, very impressive person. You know, I sat in the war room with him, you know, hour after hour, and the way he evaluated defense and his thoughts on the game were very, very impressive. I think that's a great point. You mentioned Cunningham. I mean, I think he's a young guy that is really emerging, too. I bet they're very happy with him, and he fits today's NFL very well.
the numbers on Cunningham early in the season were almost baffling, because we expected him to look as good as last year and maybe take even a bigger step forward. I mean, you look at the PFF numbers, our friends over at Pro Football Focus, and they were fantastic last year for a rookie. And you thought, okay, he's going to get a little bit better. And he was just bad the first few games. It really didn't make any sense, but he's really solidified things. He's picked it up. And like I said, it's that whole linebacking core. Everybody just didn't seem like they were right. It was something was not right the first few weeks, and all of a sudden it's looked better. Now you got to look at the defense, the offenses that they've been playing so far this season. I mean, it's not the murderer's row of offenses, but if you look at the rest of their schedule, Matt, they don't have to play much of a murderer's row of offense. Outside of Brady and maybe Andrew Luck, I mean, the other quarterbacks that they've faced so far, Mariota, Eli Manning, Dak Prescott, the combination of Josh Allen and Nathan Peterman. But, you know, moving forward, you know, they got Brock Osweiler, Case Keenum. Yeah, Alex Smith is okay. Wow. But then it's Mariota, Baker Mayfield, back to Andrew Luck, Sam Darnold. Carson Wentz is probably the best quarterback that they've got the rest of the way. And then they end off back with the Jags.
Yeah, and it's funny you mention the schedule, because I'm a big fan of Warren Sharp's work and how he does strength of schedule. And he had the Texans had the easiest schedule in the league going into the season. And the way you just laid it out, that's an awful lot of winnable games ahead of them.
Right. And I think Deshaun Watson at this point, I never thought I would say this, but they just need him to be a game manager. Don't turn the ball over. Make smart decisions. Put him in a lot of risky situations, because the offensive line, it's bad. And by the way, Matt, this offensive line gets killed. It's not just the offensive line. The running backs can't block. The tight ends can't block.
That's a good point.
I mean, they're not getting help from anybody. And Deshaun, you know, he's made some mistakes himself. He doesn't get rid of the ball. Sometimes he doesn't make quick decisions. Really, as a quarterback, he's still, I feel like, in the learning process. Remember, he hadn't even played 16 full games yet.
Sure.
So Deshaun, he's still getting there, but I mean, just a game manager. Just is that simple. Just do that the rest of the way. This defense is top 10, and the special teams, Matt, it's the quiet thing nobody's talking about. They hire Brad Seeley. He won 3 Super Bowls with Belichick back in the early 2000s, and he's always been a great special teams coordinator. They're now top 10 according to, you know, Football Outsiders DVOA rankings, and you see it on the field. I mean, they get the turnover in this game, but they've had some turnovers in recent games, but they also are just doing the little things. They're making tackles on special teams, and it's something that we haven't seen much in the last few years with the Texans. They've been bad.
That's a fantastic point, because I immediately think of them as being bad on special teams, just because it's like been ingrained in my head over these last couple of years. And you're right, it has not been a problem, and now it's a strength. You know, in these tight games, I mean, that's a massive deal. I mean, it really is important. Just want a quick mention, and this isn't surprising, but the corners they went against are pretty damn good. I mean, Hopkins and Fuller, again, were really, really good. And just kind of one of the things I noticed in this game is, you know, we talked about Clowney, Watt, Merciless, that the stars shone in this game, shined.
DeAndre Hopkins caught, I think, 3 passes for 50 yards, but somehow it's a huge impact, because one of them was for a touchdown. One of them was a one-handed catch 30 yards down the field. It was one of the highlights of the day against Jalen Ramsey. And just DeAndre Hopkins is just, I mean, if you don't see this guy on a regular basis, it's just ridiculous the stuff that he does. But Will Fuller, everybody thought, Will Fuller, that was, he's not the greatest first round pick in the world. Mm-hmm. He has really turned, especially this year, into a fantastic receiver. I mean, he was a guy that was not known as with great hands. He's making every catch now. He was a guy that, you know, a piece of paper knocked him over. He did a bunch of work in the offseason. He added 20 pounds, and he carried a guy to a first down. He carried several guys to a first down on a 3rd and 10, just like muscled guys. He's so hard to bring down now. It takes like 1 or 2 guys. You got to really work to get Will Fuller down, and he weighed probably 155 or something like that last year. I mean, it's a transformation just both with his hands and his body that's been extraordinary.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's learned a thing or two from being around Hopkins every day. And I wasn't a fan of the pick, and I thought he was Ted Ginn, you know, just a speedster that did one thing. And I also thought that even that one thing, if you're John Ross or Ted Ginn, really helps Hopkins, and so I understand. But you're right. He is much, much more than that now.
Yeah, absolutely. He's become multidimensional. And, you know, he can make the short catches, the short routes. He's a good route runner. I mean, mm-hmm. he's not given nearly enough credit for that. But, I mean, if you think it's going to be, you know, that kind of game, then he could beat you over the top for sure. And if Deshaun just had a offensive line and some guys in front of him that can block long enough, we'd probably see more of his on-field game. Deshaun, a lot of times, just doesn't have the time to go, okay, I'm going to wait and let Will Fuller get deep on people.
Yeah, good point. Robert, this was great. Can you tell everyone where to find you? Everyone needs to check on the Locked On Texans podcast. And then I want to tell everyone about Vivid Seats, who I just used last week.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on. And it's at Locked On Texans. My personal one is at HST Podcast. I also host the Houston Sports Talk podcast. So find us there. And great to have you. Great to talk with you. And great to be on the show.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll do it again. Looks like there could be some wins in the Texans' future. And they're a team to really pay attention to now. And as I mentioned, you got to pay attention to our folks over at Vivid Seats, too. I mean, they came through huge for me with Metallica tickets last week. I'm going to buy some Penguin tickets here coming up. Fortunately for my job, I don't need to go to the NFL games. I get that all taken care of, but I'm sure you don't. So go check out, you know, Vivid Seats right now. I love their app, to be honest with you. I mean, that's the easiest thing for me to use. I think it's great. But Vivid Seats is an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. Listeners can watch their favorite teams and artists perform in person, as I did last week with Metallica. Vivid Seats helps fans find their seats to any of their favorite live events, and sports, concerts, theater, comedy, whatever you're looking for. They have great prices and easy purchasing experience. With our podcast code LOCKEDON, all one word, all caps, you get $20 off orders $200 or more if you're a first-time customer. So go do it. Give it a try. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Like I said, that's absolutely my favorite thing to do, to use. Enter promo code LOCKEDON to receive $20 off orders $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. And, of course, all Vivid Seats orders are backed by a 100% guarantee. All right, we are back with the last leg of the journey. We are talking Chargers with Dave Drogemeyer. We already talked Panthers. We already talked Texans. Another winning team that things are going in the right direction is the LA Chargers. They get the win over Tennessee, barely in the end, across the pond. Dave, what is shaking, dude?
Hey, not a whole lot, man. Here in Chargers land, a lot of excitement. I mean, Chargers come off a tough victory here, winning four straight. It wasn't a pretty one, as you alluded to, but in the National Football League, a win is a win.
Yeah, and a kind of a desperate Titans team in a foreign land. Any kind of win's fine by me in those kind of situations.
Yeah, no, it's definitely it's a tough situation because, you know, for the Chargers specifically, you know, they played the Cleveland Browns and then they stayed in Cleveland all week until they flew to London on Friday. So
oh,
they
wow.
could try to save a couple hours on the on the trip. But, you know, whenever you're going to that big of a time difference, you know, 8 hours or so, it takes a couple days for the body to get adjusted. So, you know, it's never an easy transition, but they handled it well.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. It's an interesting strategy. I'm going to just kind of start with the end. I mean, were you as shocked as I that Tennessee decided to go for two? And was your feeling, were you happy or scared about it when it happened? And as I was watching the game, I kind of got the feeling that Tennessee was getting stronger as the game went on both sides of the ball, while the Chargers were getting weaker on both sides of the ball as it went on. So if I was a Chargers fan, I'd have been like, man, I'm not too excited about going to OT.
Yeah, no, definitely not excited. The Titans dominated the majority of this game. I mean, the Chargers got off to a hot start, but the Titans dominated the time of possession. They had about 20 more plays than the Chargers, and the Chargers defense was out there for a long time. The Titans defense, or just the Titans team in general, did a great job of playing keep away, taking the ball and keeping it and not giving it back to Phillip Rivers. And just going back to the first question, I was very surprised that they were going to go for two in that situation. But hey, rookie head coach wanted to make a name for himself, wanted to believe in his players that they were going to be able to get it done. And unfortunately, it didn't work out. They even had two tries at it, because the first one, there's a holding penalty on Casey Hayward. They got another shot, and the Chargers made them pay. They made the play, and they squeaked out of London with a win.
Yeah, and you can look at it two ways, kind of, because you lost the turnover or the time of possession battle, and that's exactly how Tennessee wants to play. Weird week of preparation. You could see how the team, especially the defense, would start to wear out in the end. But part of the reason you lost the turnover differential was because you waited a 1 yard or one play drive for 75 yards. I mean, you're hitting big plays on offense. I mean, you're too good on offense.
Yeah, no, that's a good problem to have, obviously. And that's the second week in a row that Tyrell Williams has come up big. Not a lot of catches, but a lot of yards. Three catches, 115 plus yards against the Browns, and he did it again against the Titans, and he did four catches for 118 yards and that 75 yard bomb. I mean, seems like he's been getting one of those every week. So he's a guy that people around the league need to start paying a little bit more attention to.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a team that's loaded with playmakers, and the guy who's, well, not stirred to drink, because I think Rivers has been the best quarterback in the league this year. I've said that going into this week, but Melvin Gordon was obviously a key component that wasn't there, and to get a win in this situation without him too is absolutely huge.
It's massive, because all week we're expecting to get Melvin Gordon in there. We didn't have any problems until he was a late addition to the injury report with a hamstring injury. And, Anthony Lynn said after the game that it was just a precaution. They didn't want this to be a lingering issue. And obviously it showed. I mean, they missed Melvin Gordon a lot. They only got about 50 yards rushing on the game. And again, the Titans are a great defense. The offense is awful, with the numbers, they're towards the bottom of the league, but they gave up a bunch of sacks last week, but they were much better this week, and they had a great game plan and they implemented it almost to perfection.
Yeah, and you would think now, Gordon gets a great break, he should come back with fresh legs and be as good or better than ever. Do you think Bosa returns when we see the Chargers next?
He absolutely will return. All reports, coming from his dad, coming from the Chargers, coming from head coach Anthony Lynn, we all expect Joey Bosa to be back after the bye, which is massive, because Joey is one of the best players in the league, not only just on the defense, but in the league. He is a terror, and when you pair him with Melvin Ingram, and not just Melvin Ingram, Joey Bosa is the type of player that elevates the game of everyone else around him. So, he's a transcendent talent, and to get him back for the back half of the season, which to me is probably a little bit more important than the first half, you're going in with momentum, four wins in a row, and when you get a guy of that caliber back on your defense, it only can bode well for the team going forward.
I think it's massive, and to be in this position without him this long is really encouraging. And his partner in crime, Ingram, I thought had a really good game today, too.
Yeah, no, I mean, Melvin Ingram is doing everything that he can. I mean, he's rushing the passer, he's getting interceptions, he's getting in passing lanes. Melvin Ingram is an incredible athlete. He can do everything on the football field. I mean, I've seen him throw it 70 yards through the air. I've seen him try to rush. He got his first and only offensive touch last week, and, he'll swear that he got into the end zone. But he didn't quite make it. But Melvin Ingram is a fantastic player. And, with Joey being out, they've been able to double-team him and try to erase him as much as possible. You can only hold a good player away for so long. And, you know, he's done a good job without Bosa, but, you know, I think you're really going to see the best of Melvin Ingram when Joey Bosa returns.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And not to mention, you know, a guy like Derwin James, who wasn't there last year with Bosa. I mean, it's just one more star to the mix. You know, Hayward's still really, really good player. Guys like King are much better than people realize. We mentioned some of the star power on offense. I said, you know, I think Rivers is having the best season of any quarterback in the league. I mean, like, there's a lot of star power here. I have two concerns, though. I had a couple little concerns. And then I got a bigger question for you. I think today was kind of an isolated incident, although we saw some of it last week, and we saw a ton of it last year. Tackling was a problem today. You know, are they past that? Does that concern you? You know, or do you think it's kind of an isolated incident?
No, it's not an isolated incident, yeah. Matt. It's a huge problem. The Chargers defense, you know, they're good at the bend but don't break, but they've been bending a little bit too much with the missed tackles.
Right.
I mean, one guy in specifically, you know, I hate to pinpoint, but Jahlil Adai had a lot of missed tackles, and you know he's had a lot of missed tackles at the safety position, and it seems like the coaching staff just continues to throw him out there. But you know he's not the only one. I mean, I saw several missed tackles on the game, and it's ugly. That's something that absolutely has to be a point of emphasis and a focus going into this bye week. They need to get that corrected and quick.
Yeah, and I'm really aware of it because you mentioned, and you know, I'm a big fan of Football Outsiders, and I spent all training camp with the Steelers, and it was brought up over and over and over in Pittsburgh. Hey, the Steelers are the worst tackling team in the league in 2017. Well, it was either them or the Chargers. I mean, they were by far the worst two tackling defenses in the league. So I've really had my eyes open to it, and then watching today was going, ooh, this is a concern.
Yeah, no, it is a concern. I mean, they cleaned it up a little bit better from last year to this year, and I think Derwin James has a lot to do with it. I mean, the kid's multi-talented. He's a great tackler. Desmond King is a great tackler, but there's three or four other guys in that defense that really need to get that cleaned up. I mean, it's just – it's hard to watch, and that's the reason why this – defense is not playing to its full potential. If they get the tackling fixed, they get some good turnovers, they get decent pressure, that's going to get better obviously here soon. But that's the biggest problem. And I think they know it, and hopefully they take the time to fix it.
Yeah, and for those that don't know, I don't have this in front of me, but I think I'm correct on this. In the last 17 games, because I wrote this up before this week, the Chargers' only losses are two to the Chiefs, one in Jacksonville when they were playing really, really well, one to the Patriots, and one to the Rams. Like, that's not the worst resume I've ever seen over 17 games. I think this is a heck of a football team right now.
Yeah, they're a tremendous football team. They have one of the best offenses in the league, and you already alluded to talking about Phillip Rivers and how phenomenal he's been. I mean, 17 touchdowns, only three interceptions. Yeah. That is MVP caliber play from the quarterback position, if I've ever seen it. So he's been phenomenal. Melvin Gordon's having the best year of his career, you know, rushing and receiving. He's such a dual threat now. He's been such a, you know, his receiving has just gotten better and better as he's been in the league. He's really, you know, the cog that makes this offense go. You saw how much the running game really suffered without him today. And when he's on the football field, things just seem to move at a better pace. He's running harder this year. He's breaking tackles. You know, they're getting contributions from Tyrell Williams. They're getting touchdowns from Mike Williams, mm-hmm. their first-round pick from last year. Keenan Allen is, you know, doing what he does, extending drives, getting first downs, hasn't gotten in the end zone yet, which I know is probably bugging the heck out of him, but he is definitely being productive, and, you know, he's Rivers' safety blanket for sure. And the defense, very underrated, and they're just going to get a whole lot better when Bosa comes back. I mean, I don't think people understand how much of a difference he can make, but they will very soon.
Yeah, absolutely, and imagine if they had Hunter Henry. Imagine if they had a legitimate home field advantage. Imagine if they had special teams that I could trust. You know, I still am not exactly on board there. Dave, last question for you and for our fans, because probably most of you are listening this after. Cincinnati and the Chiefs have not kicked off yet as we're recording this. How many teams in the AFC would you put ahead of the Chargers right now?
One. I mean, I think that the Chargers can definitely beat the Patriots. I think the blueprint is there for that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, don't give Tom Brady the ball with any time at all in the fourth quarter. That's not going to go over very well
Chiefs?
For you.
Is the one the Chiefs? Or yes. Okay.
Yeah, no, the Chiefs have had the Chargers number for, I don't know, ever since Andy Reid has taken over. I mean, they just have not been able to solve that puzzle. And, you know, until they're able to beat the Chiefs, it is them. You know, not only just because they're leading the division, but like I said, they've had the Chargers number. So that is the team on the top of the mountain that the Chargers need to knock off. And until they do, they're going to be there.
Yeah, and Reid's unbelievable against the divisional foes. I do think they will come back to earth a little bit, though. We'll see. Maybe it's happening as people are listening to this. We will see. But, Dave, where can everybody see you? I kept you longer than I planned. We'll have to have you back soon. The Chargers are a fun team. Tell everyone where to find you on Twitter, and everyone needs to check out the Locked On Chargers podcast for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you can find us on Twitter at Locked On LAC. You can also find us on Facebook, on our Facebook page, Locked On Chargers. We try to get you guys 4 to 5 shows a week, and you know, we've had some great success, so I want to, you know, give a shout out to all the listeners. And if you haven't checked us out, subscribe to us. iTunes, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find the Locked On Chargers podcast.
Without question. Thanks, everyone. That is going to wrap it up. I am going to get this out to you so you can listen to it on Sunday night while I am watching Chiefs-Bengals, expecting a fun one in that contest. And I will get back to you on Tuesday when we sit down with Sage Rosenfels, then Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus will be on Wednesday, my buddy Mike Sando on Thursday, and then we'll be back to picking games once again at my bookie on Friday. So that's a wrap, over and out.